Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Well, I hope you're preparing to get stuffed on this Thanksgiving.
Here we go.
Edition of Kingdom Pursuits. I am just telling you that we are loaded for bear today. I am really, really excited because of who we have in the audience slash our studio today. We have, first of all, Carly Dixon.
Yes.
Which, with a name like Carly Dixon, you know, it sounds like a singer or something. Just a beautiful name. It just kind of goes together.
You.
Your parents were really good when they did that.
thank you.
And now, Carly Dixon. With, and I love this, this also is a mouthful, Carolina Cognitive Rehabilitation.
Yes.
I did that in my best radio voice. Did you like that? You want to hear it again?
That was
Carolina
good.
Cognitive Rehabilitation. I missed it.
You missed it.
Rehabilitation. Rehabilitation.
There you go.
So, of course, that begs the question, what in the world?
Okay. Well, Carolina Cognitive Rehabilitation, we are actually a nonprofit organization, and we exist to help stroke and traumatic brain injury patients or survivors. And the issue is when they leave the hospital, a lot of times they're financially depleted, and they have no way to afford further therapy. And so they'll do outpatient for a short period of time, but then they're going home, and there's nothing left to do. A lot of times they sit home, they're isolated. And what we do is we have a program. We have very skilled clinicians, and we offer language and cognitive rehabilitation so they can come in and work on memory and problem solving and expressive language and writing and
vision
issues.
Oh, man, you can see we are loaded. Yeah. We're stuffed today on Kingdom Pursuits with just giftedness. Don't you think, Robert? We also have with us Robert Hilmer, one of our old friends with the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission. And Robert, we've had a banquet, we've had a scholarship, and we're getting to have Thanksgiving here in a minute. And boy, I can hardly wait. But Robert, what you got for us?
Well, first of all, we had our 51st banquet on November 1st. We also had one for Alpha Acres, our farm. And one of the blessings we had Pastor Jonathan Falwell come from Liberty University and Thomas Road Baptist Church down. And he preached to us, and was our speaker. And he, at the end, he gave one gentleman, paid one gentleman's parking tickets for him so he could get his driver's license.
Wow.
And then Michael, who is here with me in the studio, he gave Michael a full 4-year ride to Liberty University.
Can you imagine? How awesome is that?
It was surprising and really awesome. I mean.
But one of the things I'm really excited about is you guys have a Thanksgiving.
We do. We are doing Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving Day at 12 noon at the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission. Our goal is to feed 1,500 people. If you want to support that, please feel free to check us out on the web or give me a call at 336-723-1848, and we'll be happy to help you. But our goal is to feed 1,500 people.
There you go. And as you can imagine, speaking of Thanksgiving, it's coming. It's coming.
I'm waiting.
You're waiting.
I'm waiting.
We're waiting for the
patiently.
Music. Well, she's going to get it in a minute. But I'm just going to have to go with it here. Okay, when it comes on, you just let it ride. Speaking of Thanksgiving. Oh, now I feel better. As John Wayne would say, buckle up for a great Thanksgiving, pilgrim. Or he would say, I can't imitate John Wayne. I wish I could. But that's just... Buckle up for a great Thanksgiving, Pilgrim.
Pilgrim.
You know, I don't know if you tried this, but from what I understand, getting the longer part of the wishbone is a snap. It just doesn't get any better than this. I'm just telling you. And I don't know if you heard about this new song. Maybe it's going to be sung by Carly Dixon. It sounds like it would be. It's all about the based, about the based. No gobble. Now, you got to admit, Rachel, that's funny. It's all about the based. And I don't know if you knew this, but as a matter of fact, gravy is based on turkey drippings. Just telling you. You think Thanksgiving dinner's over or these jokes? You ain't seen stuffing yet, buddy. The gravy boat the gravy boat has arrived. Calories disembarking. And, of course, we have a number of Thanksgiving riddles. Not just one, but I'm going to give you the answers to most of them. But the last one, you're going to have a chance to win. What role do green beans play? You feel free to jump in here, Robert. What role do green beans play in a Thanksgiving dinner? You got any ideas, Carly?
No.
The casserole. That's the role they play.
The casserole.
You need a drum roll. You need a drum roll.
Why didn't the cook bother to season the Thanksgiving turkey? She didn't have the time.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
And how did the turkey manage to survive Thanksgiving? He stayed ahead of the carve. There, I got a smile out of Rachel. What do you call it when people take turns making fun of a Thanksgiving turkey? It's called a roast. That's just bad. Did you know pilgrims made their own special dinner rolls for the first Thanksgiving? They came from, you guessed it, Mayflower. Somebody out there guessed it anyway. And you know there's a book about a pilgrim who had a love affair with turkeys. It's called...
I'm waiting.
I know, 50 Shades of Gravy.
Oh, groan.
And last but certainly not least, on the free riddles, then we're going to get to the one where you can win. What do you call a turkey with no feathers? You call it plucky. There you go. So, with all that said, here's your chance to win. If you can call in and tell us, and this is not actually a biblical riddle, but just in the spirit of Thanksgiving and having all this fun, I decided to try a different kind of riddle this week. What kind of cats did the pilgrims bring over on the Mayflower? What kind? There you go. You could call in and win at 866-348-7884. If you could tell us, based on the way Robbie thinks, what kind of cats did the pilgrims bring over on the Mayflower? And if you can tell us that, Rachel, tell them what they'll win. She's getting used to the buttons. It's going to be fun. There you go.
Well, they will win a book from the Kingdom Pursuits Prize Vault.
There you go. And it may even be... It's all about the based. 866-348-7884. What kind of cats did the pilgrims bring over on the Mayflower? I know you're going to love that. I'm going to love to hear your guess. 866-348-7884. And now we get a chance to talk to Michael. And Michael, you got the scholarship to Liberty, so I know everybody in the Truth audience that also listens to The Price is Right based on that music would love to know what you're going to study at Liberty.
The plan is to get an undergrad in biblical studies.
Really?
Yes.
And what were you going to do with that?
I'm not 100% sure yet.
Just jealous to begin with. Really? You get to go to college to learn about the Bible?
I do. I'm incredibly blessed in that sense. And, you know, over the last year, the mission in Alpha Acres has changed my life in a way that I never could have imagined. So all of this coming at once with me graduating, with my year coming up, me being sober a year now. So
you went through Alpha Acres?
I did.
So he who has an ear to hear, just saying. No corn jokes here. You know where we start. All right. Well, you can see that the lines are not. Well, yeah, we do have a Riddler on the phone that's going to tell us what kind of cats the pilgrims brought over on the Mayflower. And we're going to hear much more about Carolina cognitive rehabilitation. Oh, I'm excited about that. Stay tuned. So much more coming up on Kingdom Pursuits. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we are so blessed to have with us Robert Hilmer and Michael Brazier with the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission, where, wow, they've had so much go on this fall, an amazing banquet. And, of course, they've been given a scholarship for Michael, which we're going to get into that. And also, we have Carly Dixon with the Carolina Cognitive Rehabilitation Nonprofit. And we're going to find out more about that. But I know right now, if you're like me, you're dying to find out what kind of cats did the pilgrims bring over on the Mayflower. We have Orlando. Well, Orlando's, we lost connection with Orlando, so we're getting ready to get Orlando back here in a second. And we'll be able to take him. There he is. Orlando, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning. Can you hear me, Orlando?
Yes, sir.
Wonderful. Well, I am just personally excited to hear your answer to what kind of cats did the Puritans bring. Excuse me.
I'm not sure
pilgrims.
If I have the right answer, but I will think it's cauliflower.
The what now?
Cauliflower.
Cauliflower. Cauliflower cats. Oh, I like that. I think you're exactly right. I did not see a single cat that came off the Mayflower, but I'm guessing one of them was a cauliflower. I wish you could see the look on Carly's face when I said that. Oh, that's classic. That's classic. I, you know, is there such a breed as cauliflower cats?
No, it's just the one you eat.
Okay. Well, they were definitely into Thanksgiving. We know that. So it's very likely that happened. And I bet you they even named him Cauliflower. But as you might guess, I had another answer in mind. So you can call in at 866-348-7884 and try that if you'd like. All right. I love cauliflower cats. I'm going to write that down because that was I appreciate your creativity, Orlando. And it makes me want to think about cauliflower. As that's a future pun coming up. I haven't completely delineated all that I can do with cauliflower, but I'm pretty sure that it's got lots of potential. Thank you, Orlando. God bless. I appreciate you calling in. All right. Thank you. Wow. Did not see that one coming. Did you? No. 866-348-7884 if you want to give a shot at what the cats, the pilgrims brought over on the Mayflower. So, Michael, well, no, let's go to Carly a minute.
Okay.
So, one day you're sitting there and all of a sudden you feel the need to get into cognitive rehabilitation. How did that happen? I mean,
well, I've always worked with head injury patients, and so I came on.
When you say you've always worked with head injury patients, how did that happen?
Well, in grad school, I studied speech language pathology, and during grad school, I really became interested in their neurological side. And working with traumatic brain injury and stroke and all the communication.
Oh, I'm very curious. Did you have somebody in your life?
I did not, but I had a professor that kind of took me under her wing, and I did a research project with her, and I just really developed a passion. And we would do some mission work, actually, and go out and help people that could not afford to get therapy at all. And
Here's young Carly.
Yes.
And God's obviously at work.
You're supposed to say I'm still young.
Yes. A very, very young Carly before she was just young. And I'm sorry. But yeah, really young, just when you were a kid, Carly.
Uh-huh.
And God was working on you. And there was that first or second or third patient.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you saw God do something.
Yes.
And you're like, wow, can you take us back to that story?
I would say probably one of the most memorable is when I lived in Asheville. And I was with an organization, and we would go up into the Appalachian Mountains and help people. They didn't necessarily know that they had had a stroke or a brain injury, but just seeing someone that developed the ability to, they learned how to talk again when they couldn't communicate. And there's a lot of superstition up in those areas, and so they would be kind of shunned from families if all of a sudden they weren't allowed to talk or they were paralyzed on one side. It can be considered some other reason, a lot of superstitions. And so they would be shunned. And so in those instances, I can think of one man in particular. And when he first learned how to say his name again and his wife's name, I just remember he just had huge tears in his eyes. And because he wasn't allowed to go to any of the community activities because he was kind of shunned. And so he continued to improve and continued to improve. Of course, now we see that on a different level with Carolina Cognitive, but we see people that as many as 10 years post-stroke or injury that are able to acquire new things that they weren't able to do before. And it's really, God created the brain to be, it's an amazing, amazing organ, and its ability to repair itself is just amazing. And that's why I fell in love with and developed a passion for helping those people.
Yeah, like, wow. You know, we take for granted. I was thinking about that this morning, and it's interesting how God put something on your mind, and then all of a sudden, oh, that's why you put that on my mind. Because I was thinking about, at one point I was in a wheelchair because of a car accident. And when you're in a wheelchair, you're watching your son play basketball, and you want to play with him, yeah, it tears at your heart. But I can't imagine to be inside my own head, and I can't say my own name. Mm-hmm. And people don't want to have anything to do with me because they think I'm crazy or whatever they think. Mm-hmm. And so you got to see between what you'd been taught by this professor who gave you the passion and the things that you'd learned, this amazing fruit of God's work in this man's life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so no wonder.
Yeah.
No wonder. To see that and to be able to get that, it just blows my mind. I mean, how cool is that? And so I'm looking over here at Michael Brazier, who I'm sure, like me, you're thinking this man should work as, like a chef somewhere. With a name like Michael Brazier, I mean, oh my goodness. But he's a wonderful smile and just a wonderful person to be around the short period of time I've known him. But Michael, I'm just sitting there going, how in the world did a guy like you end up at the rescue mission?
Over a long progressive period of time, basically. I sort of grew up with parents that were both addicts and had some traumatic things happen to me as a child. I had a sister that passed away at a real young age of cancer.
Oh, really? How old was she?
She was 10. I was 14 at the time.
Oh, my goodness.
So
that had to be, and it didn't just happen overnight. It was a brutal period of time.
It didn't happen overnight, but it was really fast. She was diagnosed, and then she passed away just before the year mark of her diagnosis.
And your parents weren't dealing with that all that well, and obviously didn't have a lot for you, who was also trying to deal with that.
Yeah, and that's sort of an impressionable time for a 14-year-old. I was graduating middle school, going into high school, and that sort of led me down a path of self-medicating and ways to deal with sort of trying to be the strong one for my parents, who obviously weren't doing well with losing a daughter.
Yeah.
And also, in a way, sort of blocking out my own emotions during that time so that I could be the strong one.
Wow. And so how did God orchestrate your arrival at Alpha Acres?
I'd realized, along with my wife and the family members that I'm still close with, that I had an issue with substance abuse that had sort of stemmed back all the way to my teens. I mean, there were good times and bad during that 20 years or so, but it had gotten pretty bad leading up to last year. And I tried over about a year before that, like NA and AA and sort of some semi-religious ways of going about getting sober, and none of those really worked. And I was at my wit's end. I had just truly accepted Christ into my life at that point and my wife was from Yadkinville and knew of Alpha Acres, which is a rehabilitation program that is 100% biblical based. And that's what led me there. It was, I didn't know what to do. I knew that I couldn't do it alone.
Your wife. That is awesome. She played a big role in.
She did. She played a bigger role than she realizes sometimes.
Yeah, I'm sure my wife would say the same thing. Well, I would say the same thing about my wife. She has no idea the role she played in me sitting here right now. So you go to Alpha Acres. You've already given your heart to Christ. Was there a moment where God came in and said, let me show you something, Michael?
There was. I had been there. It's when I first got there, they sort of cut you off from the world. There's no cell phone the entire time you're there. Your internet access is restricted. And then the first 30 days, you're not allowed to contact anyone. So they want to really separate you and give you some introspection, like really make you look at why you need a year to get your life back in shape. And I did that. And, you know, for the first time in probably 10 years or so, God really lifted my addiction from me at that point. I didn't have cravings and I didn't have that desire anymore.
That's miraculous. And again, to see Michael, and we're going to hear more about him and go in there. We got Peter Rosenberger, the host of Hope for the Caregiver, Carly Dixon, and I know you're still wondering about these cats coming off the Mayflower. They were brought over here by the Pilgrims. You got to find out about that. You got to call us. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And we got poster children for that today. We have Carly Dixon and her passion for Carolina Cognitive Rehabilitation. And wow, I was hearing some stuff during the break. I'm excited to share with you guys about that in a minute. We also have Robert Hilmer with the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission, Michael Brazier, who was awarded a full ride to Liberty University. We heard a little bit of his story and how God's worked with him out at Alpha Acres. But now we get a new treat. We got Peter Rosenberger, who is the host of Hope for the Caregiver. And Peter, being the Riddler that he is, I'm hoping is going to know the answer to the riddle today. Peter, oh, we lost Peter, so he's calling in on the other line. But the riddle today that you could call in and ask, answer, what kind of cats did the Pilgrims bring over on the Mayflower? That's right. What kind of cats, like feline cats, did the Pilgrims? And unlike most of my riddles, there's nothing in the Bible about this because, you know, the Bible was written after the Mayflower incident. But in this particular case, there were certain kind of cats besides the cauliflower cats that we heard about earlier. There were some other ones. Peter Rosenberger is with us. Do you know what kind of cats?
I'm going to let somebody else bring the cat knowledge to the table.
I thought you were going to pull the cat out of the bag for sure.
Oh, no. I heard one pastor say that cats aren't even sanctified animals, but I'm not going to go there. I don't know. I've had a cat.
I'm just going to tell you there's more than one way to skin this riddle. I'm just telling you.
Oh, Robbie, this is hurting me. I love your topic this morning, and I get on this topic from a caregiver standpoint, and I think I'm the only one nationally that's introducing the concept that family members of addicts and alcoholics are caregivers. Now, I've been a caregiver for 3 decades plus now for my wife with severe medical issues. And this is what we do on our show on Sunday afternoons on the Truth Network, and we hope for the caregiver. But if you have a chronic disease or an impairment, whoever's standing between that person and even worse disaster is by definition a caregiver. And so I look at these folks who have a substance abuse, somebody with a substance abuse is a loved one dealing with this, and I think, okay, how do we help that person? Because even if the person stops drinking or stops taking drugs and they get sober and so forth, they still got to deal with the aftermath of why they turned to that in the first place. It's a long process. You don't just stop drinking and all of a sudden everything is happy, happy, happy all the time, time, time. There's a reason you started drinking in the first place. And so those caregivers need to understand that they have their own recovery journey to walk through of regaining their own sobriety, emotional sobriety, of dealing with somebody who has that kind of impairment. So I really appreciate you bringing this topic to the airwaves today and your show, Robbie.
Yeah, and you're only the other part that we have is we have Carly Dixon with Carolina Cognitive Rehabilitation, and she works with victims of traumatic brain injury or stroke. She has a nonprofit to those individuals, but like you say, every one of those individuals is surrounded by caregivers, and in that situation. In fact, I was just telling her at the break, I have a dear friend. A lot of you may have heard him on the radio with me. His name's Vinny Menino. His son Vinny was robbed and beaten almost to death in downtown Winston-Salem about 2 years ago, and they hit him over the head several times with a hammer. You know about that, Robert, right? And the result of that was a very traumatic, as you can imagine, brain injury. And I've watched him, you know, as he went from not being able to function or use words at all as he begins to walk through that adventure. But, wow, that's really, really tough stuff. And
we did a whole show on that, on traumatic brain injuries, with a guy that was a world champion snowboarder. He was training for the Olympics in Vancouver. And he was up there with Shaun White, one of the top guys in the world, X Games and all that kind of stuff, and he had a terrible fall and wearing a helmet, and he still had a traumatic brain injury. But what it meant to his family to go through this and watch the personality changes, and the family doesn't know quite what to do with it. And it's a very difficult thing. So, Robbie, God bless you for these topics.
Yeah, and God bless you, Peter, for your show, which is so important. And what a cool thing that God gave you a passion for caregivers, and he's given Carly this passion for... So as we were talking to Carly, it would be good just for people to know, wow, there is somebody right here in the Winston-Salem area, or apparently since it's Carolina Cognitive, mm-hmm. you know, Rehabilitation. Anywhere in the Carolinas, do you travel?
We don't travel, but we do have people that come from, that come on a regular basis from Hickory. We have people from the Charlotte area. So they do come from all over. And our hope is to one day open satellite locations so that we can extend our reaches throughout the state, because there's just such a need.
That is awesome. As I'm sitting here rolling around in my mind, I bet many of the listeners are going, oh, man, I know a guy. Well, if you know a guy, here's the good news. CC Cog. So that's their website. It's www.cccogrehab.org. I'm going to try to get that up at kingdompursuits.com. But right this minute, we have a really important caller. I mean, this is so important to me because my sister, actually Cindy, is calling in with an answer to, because, you know, she too shares the Dilmore wit. And
is that what we're calling it?
No more. So Cindy may know. Yeah, Cindy, well, Cindy, sister of mine. What kind of cats did the pilgrims bring over on the Mayflower?
Puritans.
Oh,
I knew you'd know it.
Is that right?
Puritans. There you go. See, Peter.
You guys get together with
No, I don't see. That's
genetic.
Robbie.
Genetic.
And I get together and they tell a bad joke.
That hurts me, Robbie. That hurts me. I'm physically wounded by this.
Well, the good news is for the cats, they have seven lives to endure it. And they, you know... Well, there.
Nine lives, Robbie. Nine.
Cindy, you are exactly right.
and they're gonna need every one of them.
Oh, they'd already lost two from that joke. So they,
one by one.
I think it was seven. I don't know. It's a perfect number. It's nine. You're right. They named a cat food after.
Well, you know, Robbie. You must be on a lot of prayer lists, Robbie.
I think I might need cognitive rehab.
Yeah, we can help you with that.
Yeah. Yeah, we, well,
Thank you, Cindy.
You tell the kind of jokes that people do need to wear a helmet for.
Yes. See, somebody had to come in for call in from Michigan with that riddle. You're mm-hmm. Carolina people, you know.
Mm-hmm. No. That's no riddle. I've seen riddles. I've known riddles. That's no riddle.
No, oh, that's. you know, I'm, this that, is. It, you can't do this at home. You know, this isn't my first rodeo, Peter. You know, so.
I know, but all I know is I'm going to wear a helmet from now on when I call your show.
There you go. So getting back to Michael, who I'm, so you're there at that situation. Tell me about your relationship now with your wife.
We've been together for almost 9 years, but the last year of our relationship during my recovery and during me gaining my biblical foundation has changed our relationship definitely in a way that I never could have imagined. Like we're definitely way closer. We definitely have a better understanding of what a marriage is supposed to be like. And
so was your wife a believer at the
she was. My wife is actually the one that led me to Christ.
Really?
Yes. Her father, my father-in-law, is a minister in Louisville. So really? she knows the Bible better than I do at this point.
I'm sure. Yeah. So was her father instrumental in some of this too?
He was. He had an addiction problem, as not as severe as mine, but at one point in his life, in his teenage years, during high school, drinking and stuff like that. But he was never real forceful. He was always sort of let me figure it out on my own pace, because I think in his heart he knew that if he tried to force sort of the Bible down my throat, that it wasn't going to do any good. So I'm very appreciative of that, and he's definitely one of my mentors now and someone that will be wise counsel moving forward.
Well, I wonder, since we have Carly here, you know, with us, as I listen to that, I think, you know, it's so often that a young lady looks for their father in a man, mm-hmm. right? And there's this addictive personality, and so, you know, she saw that, but then interestingly, the father-in-law, you know, 2 Corinthians, you know, chapter 1, as you were comforted, you know, by Christ, you know, you're there to comfort others, which is obviously, you know, the whole basis of your ministry, to an extent, the basis of Peter's ministry, by all means, right, Peter?
I think you minister out of your woundedness, your wounding. Wherever you've been wounded, that's where you've met Christ so profoundly, and that's where you end up ministering from.
Wow, we have a listener who has a comment. We don't want to miss out on this. We have Angela is in Burlington. Angela, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning. Robbie, the last time I spoke with you on Kingdom Pursuits, Peter Rosenberger was one of your guests, and I had shared with you what a rough time I was having being a caregiver for my mother. And I hear the music in the background.
Good catch, Angela.
So I'll wait.
Fortunately, we have 9 lives here at Kingdom Pursuits. It's coming.
You sure it's not 7?
Could be 7. Well, so coming back after the break, Angela, please stay on with us. I'm very excited to hear what's going to happen between you and Peter. The saga continues on Kingdom Pursuits. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. We are having too much fun today as we are unloading the Mayflower with Robert Hilmer with the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission, and Michael Brazier, also with the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission, and Carly Dixon with Carolina Cognitive Rehabilitation, Peter Rosenberger with Hope for the Caregivers, and now Angela's calling in. When we left our hero, Angela, she had called in before when Peter was on the show. And you want to hear another crazy coincidence, Peter? Is Robert Hilmer was also in. I bet I haven't had Robert back in 10 months, but he was there that same day. So, Angela, you are on with the same group that we had before. So go ahead.
Well, fire away, Angela.
Okay. Well, as I was saying, the last time I spoke, you greeted me with saying, well, we haven't heard from you in a long time, Angela, and I told you it was because I was extremely busy being a caregiver for my mother. Yep. And you and Peter made me promise that by the end of the day, I would do something just for me that I truly enjoyed. And it was about a quarter till midnight, but I did it. I made myself a greeting card, wrote myself a note, put it in an envelope, and mailed it. And when I got it 2 days later, it was an encouragement.
Now, don't you make a lot of you do a lot of handmade greeting cards, if I remember correctly?
Yes, sir.
Well, that is awesome. And now, are you listening to my show on the Truth Network every Sunday afternoon at 4 Eastern?
Yes, sir. I'm trying to.
Well, I just want to give a big shout-out to Stu Epperson and Robbie Dillmore for seeing the value of what we do to reach that family caregiver who's often overlooked. And people don't really know what to say. And you're why we do the show, Angela. And Robbie has been a guiding force of bringing that show to not only the Truth Network, but even beyond. And so it's all about taking these places where we're wounded, offering them to Christ, and seeing and watching in amazement what he does with our broken pieces.
Well, I have some other things have happened. My mom was in the hospital for her congestive heart failure, and she was released to a nursing home. I'm going to be transparent right now. I am just celebrating my 68th birthday a few weeks ago, and I had lived with my parents all of my life. But now I have an apartment. I'm having great joy with the interior decoration, and I know it was the right thing to do. I have no brothers or sisters, so a lot of flack from other members of the family, my mother's sisters, fell on me, but that's okay.
Peter,
I'm
definitely curious. Do you have something in one of your books or in your studies for somebody that has been a caregiver most of their life and all of a sudden finds himself without that responsibility?
Well, I haven't written about it from a personal standpoint because I'm still doing it. But one of the things that you are doing well is that you're learning that it's okay for you to detach from this and provide for yourself and your own peace of mind. I was talking to a lady the other day who's been taking care of her mother for a long time, and her mother just died, and I made her promise that she would not go through in a flurry and try to get rid of all the clothes or try to settle everything out. Just do it as it comes, as she has strength to do it, and then take a break. Don't be in a hurry. You didn't get here overnight. You're not going to get out of it overnight.
That's what I'm doing. My mother was so afraid. Oh, you're going to sell the house. You're going to sell the house. I said, Mom, I am not selling the house. We've got a long ways to go before we reach that bridge. And so I'm back and forth between my apartment and the house, and I'm not selling it or I'm not doing anything except just...
Well, you don't... Yeah, there's no rush. There's no rush to anything. You just pace yourself because you're already stretched thin as a caregiver. Why stretch yourself thin in trying to manage the craziness? And we caregivers tend to... thrive on chaos inappropriately, and we can't sustain that. We've got to learn to make time for stillness, or we're going to have to make time for illness.
And we also
like
have
a lifetime.
Hey guys, we also have Carly with us, who obviously works in this field. And
yes.
I'm interested in your perspective on what happens when all of a sudden your life changes like that.
Oh goodness. Well, we have a lot of caregivers that. You know, oftentimes with stroke or brain injury, especially stroke, you'll see where roles change. And so that's a big shock to them. And so there's a lot of guilt that comes, you know, with a caregiver, guilt that if they do go out and do something on their own or when they do have to put a loved one in a, you know, skilled nursing facility or something like that, there's guilt that comes with that. And we do a lot of caregiver coaching at Carolina Cognitive also and try to help them see, you know, the value in
and doing what they know they're being led to do, and what, you know, may on the front end bring some guilt, but in reality it's what's best for them and for their loved one in the long run. So we really encourage them, I think, is to get a support system in place. Other people, go out and find a support group, find just a group of women, join a Bible study. I think the isolation that comes with being a caregiver is one of the things that is most detrimental. And so especially if you're in a place where you've been a caregiver all your life or for a long period of time and then you're not anymore, I would say go out and find people. Find people that you can connect with. You know, she said she likes to make cards. Find a group and make cards with them.
All right, Angela. Are you going to promise that you're going to? Are you going to promise to go out and meet some people?
Oh, I already am.
Oh, good, good, good.
I just wanted to say there are a lot of activities at church that I haven't been able to attend. I'm getting back in that now, good. And I've learned not to feel guilty or not to feel bad when I say goodnight to my mother, and I'll see you again day after tomorrow. So,
good. That's
been such a big step, and I just want to say a very heartfelt God bless you and thank you. It's amazing how God puts everything together for Peter to be on the program again today, and
yeah, that's
God's
awesome.
Just amazing.
He is, and I would point out that your show comes on Across the Truth Network tomorrow, and it's live always, so people can call in. It's 4 o'clock here in this area.
Right.
But in different markets.
3 o'clock my time in Nashville.
Right.
And by the way, guilt and isolation are two of the landmines that I talk about in my book, Seven Caregiver Landmines, that we hit as caregivers. I mean, I'm the crash test dummy of caregivers. If you could fail at it, I failed at it.
And Robert, you know, I would imagine in your line of work with Winston-Salem Rescue Mission, isolation is what will get them there too, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the things that we try to do is when the men come in, we get them involved with different churches and groups and classes, and because a lot of them are isolated. A lot of them are homeless. A lot of them are just sitting off and doing whatever they're doing, and now they're all of a sudden in a group situation. So it takes some steps for these people, and myself included at the time, to open up.
And Angela, let me just share with you that there's guys sitting over there at the top of the Piedmont building. They've isolated. They've pulled away from everybody in their own way, you know, trying to hide from stuff, you know. And I often think there sits the rescue mission down there, and these people are sitting up in those high rises looking down thinking, those guys really got a problem.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that, but that's a good point.
And those people up at the top of that high rise over there, you know, like me, you know, are sitting there. We isolate when we get scared and all those things too. So, Peter, thank you for your ministry. Angela, I am so grateful you called in today. That was awesome and courageous.
Well, thank you for letting me have all this time. I appreciate you and Peter and all of your guests and.
Well, Angela, without listeners.
The whole Truth Network, you just mean so much.
Without listeners, there's no reason for us to do this. So thank you. God bless. Have a happy Thanksgiving with
you
your
too.
Mom. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well,
bye-bye, Angela.
We need to, you know, once again, urge people to go to wsrescue.org and find out more about Alpha Acres. You may have somebody you know that needs that program. That's an amazing program over there, a year, but they have the Life Builders program, and they have... what are they, Robert?
We have the Life Builders program, which is the 90-day program, and then the Transformers program, which is the one-year program. We do that both downtown and at Alpha Acres.
All right. And so, of course, CCC, if you're going on the web, CCCOG, which is CCCOGRehab.org, to find out more about Carly and Carolina Cognitive Rehab. And, of course, Peter... We're hoping they're going to listen tomorrow, but you've got your own Standing with Hope website as well as books and all sorts of stuff.
Well, it's easy to go to hopeforthecaregiver.com.
Hope for the caregiver. If you're in that situation, so many resources are available. Again, if you're stuck in a situation where you know somebody that needs Alpha Acres and they need the rescue mission, or, again, cognitive rehab. Wow, what a blessing. You know, isn't it cool that God has been enlisting people in all these different areas in caregiving and rescue and rehab. He's got a whole army. It's almost like he has the whole world in his hands, Peter. I'm just saying.
Well, it was, and thank you for letting me come on. It was almost a perfect show.
Well said.
We had to end with that.
I know, that's so good. Now, stay tuned on the Truth Network. You got so much truth coming at you. Masculine Journey starts here now at 12 o'clock, and then Disciple Magazine. Thank you for listening to the Truth Network.